It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Think of your greatest fear or one of your greatest fears, and how about not only eliminating that fear, but also using it to your benefit? In our second half hour, a fascinating conversation with a former Navy SEAL, Brandon Webb. He'll talk about the challenges he faced as a Navy SEAL, but also afterwards in business, and lessons for us all from his new book, Mastering Fear. Before we get to that, let's get up to speed on what's been happening with the 2018 Farm Bill. Now, the Farm Bill is a comprehensive omnibus bill. It's renewed every 5 years or so. It deals with both agriculture, but also other affairs under the purview of the U.S. Ag Department. Farm bills can be highly controversial. Lots of moving parts. They can impact international trade, environmental conservation, food safety, the well-being of our rural communities here in the Midwest. Now, the current Farm Bill, the Agricultural Act of 2014, funds farm programs through this year. Currently in Congress, we have the 2018 Farm Bill. Joining us to talk about it, Neil Hamilton, director of the Drake Agricultural Law Center at Drake University in Des Moines. Hi, Neil. Neil, are you there? Now, I think you're there now, Neil. Hi.
Can you hear me, Ben?
Absolutely. We've got you on board. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, great.
In our Ames studio, Amy Mayer joins us, reporter for IPR and Harvest Public Media. Nice to have you on board, Amy.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you both. Let's go back to, well, what's been happening this year on this bill. I guess back in May, this $867 billion farm bill failed in the U.S. House. Right, Neil?
Yes, only the second time in history. It was defeated on the floor, and it got tied up, as you know, with a decision about immigration or a debate about immigration, and also the proposed changes that some members in the House want to make in the nutrition program, the SNAP program.
Okay, so immigration got dragged into it as well. I guess it's natural. It relates to a lot of farm work in this country. Amy, where is the farm bill in the legislative process right now?
The farm bill is waiting to be pounded out by a House-Senate conference committee. They will take the House bill and the Senate bill and see if they can come up with something that can go back to each of the houses and be approved by both that is the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, some of the differences, Amy, between those bills?
One of the major differences is what Neil was just mentioning regarding changes to the nutrition program. The House bill has much increased work requirements, a greater age range of people who need to be working, a larger number of hours they need to be either working or in training, other changes that would essentially make the recipients of the nutrition benefits more obligated to be engaged in either paid work or volunteer work or some kind of job training. Mm-hmm. The Senate bill doesn't have anywhere near the increase to those requirements that the House bill has.
Neil, what's driving that change in the SNAP program with work requirements?
Well, I think this is, the battleground between kind of conservatives who are opposed to a more generous or humane system of assistance to those in need, and others who believe that the SNAP program is working well, and in fact, providing nutrition and food to people is an important goal and one that the Farm Bill needs to address.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be one of the critical issues because the House bill, when it finally passed, only passed by two votes. A number of Republicans, 20, I believe, voted against it. And you don't have these provisions in the Senate bill. To clear the conference committee, you need a majority vote of both houses, the House and the Senate. And so I think it's predictable that it's very unlikely that the conference committee is going to support anything near what you had in the House.
Mm.
And that will make that'll make House leadership's challenge very difficult in terms of either getting a vote or whether they even want to try to bring the bill to a vote in the relatively short period of time they have left before they break for the election.
In just a few minutes, we're going to talk with a couple of Iowa farmers, a pork producer and a soybean farmer. But first of all, Amy, generally speaking, how does this farm bill relate to farmers? In what ways?
There's a variety of ways. One of the main two of the main programs, I would say, are the commodity title, which is the section of the farm bill that has provisions for safety net programs that help farmers in the event of certain types of disruptions, such as natural disasters or crop infestations or something dramatic in the markets that brings prices down. Those are commodity support programs. And then the other piece would be the crop insurance title, which is a hybrid between the farm bill and some other legislation. But crop insurance actually superseded those other safety net programs in the 2014 farm bill as what's considered to be the primary safety net for farmers. The crop insurance title of the farm bill outlines what amount of subsidy the federal government will provide to farmers to purchase their premiums, and it partially deals with the relationship between the government and the companies that underwrite the crop insurance.
Neil, before we talk to our farmers, this all is taking place during an interesting time in international trade, especially with commodities, the tit-for-tat trade war with China. He has a new aggressive stance towards China that's impacting agricultural business. Give us an overview of that. So we have commodity prices, pork, corn, soybeans suffering. Can we say that across the board?
Well, I think you can. Agriculture was in a fairly precarious situation in terms of net farm income and declining farm prices. And then, the president chose to begin a trade war with many of our major partners, and agriculture has been one of the largest victims in terms of the retaliatory tariffs that have been imposed. And I think part of the challenge, and you may hear this in frustration from the farmers, is that, you know, the Farm Bill, while it covers a wide range of things, the trade title is relatively thin. It deals primarily with market access and promotion, whereas these tariff decisions aren't really covered by the Farm Bill. And even more interestingly, you know, the recent proposal to provide a fairly chunky bailout of $12 billion into agriculture isn't even going through Congress. You know, that was something the administration was proposing to do under existing authority. And so we have a Farm Bill moving, but not necessarily dealing directly with what are some of the most significant political and economic issues facing many producers, certainly Iowa pork and soybean growers.
So that is something farmers need to hear in our area. This $12 billion aid package likely not going through in your estimation?
No. It'll go through. The point is it doesn't have to go through Congress. It's okay. Not a congressional action.
Okay, good. Misunderstanding. Sorry about that. Neil Hamilton is with us. If you just joined us, director of the Drake Agricultural Law Center, Amy Mayer, a reporter for IPR and Harvest Public Media. Let's check in with a couple of farmers in our area. Howard Hill is with us. He's a pork producer, also the past National Pork Producers Council president, Cambridge, Iowa, where he has his location in Story County. That's sort of between Ames and Des Moines. Howard Hill, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's just get your biggest concerns as you watch this new farm bill be shaped in Washington.
Well, typically pork producers don't ask for anything in the farm bill. You know, we kind of take the attitude of do no harm. However, this year we do have a couple of things that we want to see in the farm bill. And with the USDA's change in the approach of how to handle an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, We've asked for funding for the vaccine bank. Currently, there wouldn't be enough vaccine to probably last a couple of weeks if we had an outbreak. We have about 1 million pigs on the road every day of the year, and if we had an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, it would spread rapidly. So we're asking for $150 million for a vaccine bank that would help protect our industry. It's estimated that if we had an outbreak and we couldn't control it, it could cost over a 10-year period $200 billion. Mm. So it would affect livestock producers, cattle producers, but also grain producers.
Did you have a feeling, Howard, that plea is being heard?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, we've had good response from both the House and the Senate. The big question, of course, is will it get fully funded, or, you know, we just don't know. But we've got good support from our ag coalition there.
Okay.
Also, we're asking for $30 million for the National Animal Health Lab Network, which is very important. Our diagnostic laboratories and then $70 million for the state and animal health agencies to try to booster their ability to respond to a disease outbreak.
Mm-hmm. As a pork producer, any other aspects very important to you and other pork producers aside from these disease aspects you mentioned?
Yeah, there's a bill in the House, it's H.R. 4879, which is Protect the Interstate Commerce Act. Massachusetts and California have passed rules that affect husbandry practices for livestock, and they would say that if the product is even produced outside of that state, that it would not be accepted, and this is really counter to our Commerce Act. So we're hopeful that we get support of that at the national level. And we hope people support that 4817 bill.
Okay. Howard Hill, before we say goodbye to you, what is your take on the president's trade policies, this tit-for-tat with China, and how it's impacting you and pork as a commodity?
Well, I would agree with Neil that, you know, it's impacting especially hogs and soybeans right now. Some of that is due to oversupply. But, of course, tariffs have had an impact, even though our exports are still pretty good. But we also understand why the administration is doing this, trying to get the Chinese to come into line protecting intellectual property and being a fair player in the trade war, so mm-hmm. trade area.
So you're willing to you're willing to put up with some short term pain, even if it means
short
for your pocketbook.
Yeah, short term. But we're also talking to them very vigorously about getting this resolved, because long term this could be really tough for pork producers and grain producers.
Right, that's right. It's when you're in the middle of it, you don't know if it'll be short-term or not, do you? All right.
That's right.
Howard Hill, pork producers, joining us from Cambridge, Iowa, in Story County. Thank you, Howard.
You're welcome.
Let's jump over to a soybean producer, Ray Gasser, in Corning, Iowa, in Adams County. That's in the southwest part of the state. He's the past president of the Iowa Soybean Association. Ray, how are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Glad to be on, and I'd like to say hi to Neil Hamilton, who grew up a mile north of our house.
Well, you guys are buddies. Great. Well, before we get to the farm bill, since we left off there with Howard Hill, what is your take on the president's trade policies and how they're impacting your soybean production?
Well, certainly concerned, but also supportive that some things need to be done. You know, China has been abusing our system, you know, over the years, and you know their tariffs more or less on soybeans and products going into China are at about 14% to 16% tariffs. Everything that from China that comes into the United States is tariffed at 1.5% or 2.5%. So there really needed to be some balancing there. The intellectual property issue is real. I've been there 7 times, and I've seen it in the seed business, you know, and we really need to be able to protect our intellectual property there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just there's a lot, multiple ways for countries to keep you out of their markets if they choose to, besides tariffs, you know, with sanitary, phytosanitary issues, they find problems with the products you have, you know, and there's the regulatory issues, the lack of approvals for the new technologies that we have and we need here in the United States to be more efficient farming and do a better job.
Okay, so you're willing to sacrifice some of your pocketbook earnings on soybeans, sounds like.
Yeah, we hope, and we do hope that it, you know, gets resolved quickly, and we really do need to have lots of other agreements besides China. You know, we're working mm-hmm. on lots of them, and they're all important. Trade is important, particularly to soybeans. A lot are important to other agricultural products like pork, too.
Ray Gasser, we're running out of time here. Give us your take, your concerns as a soybean producer here in Iowa on what's being shaped as the 2018 Farm Bill in Washington.
Oh, it's going to be pretty similar to the 2014 Farm Bill, and I was directly involved in that as chairman of the Farm Bill Committee at the American Soybean Association. Very much similar. Some improvements, we hope, in the crop insurance program, but and some improvements in conservation and how we work with CRP and allowing some haying and at least grazing maybe on CRP in our area of southern Iowa.
CRP, you know, tell us what CRP is.
Conservation Reserve Program.
Okay.
It's long-term programs to have a conservation, you know, grasses and thorbs and those kind of things, pollinators on that land. And while many of us would like to see some grazing on that land to allow some of the younger farmers to have access to it and as a way for them to get into agriculture.
Okay. Ray Gasser, thank you very much. Iowa Soybean Producer, past president of the Iowa Soybean Association. Thanks for your views, Ray.
The marketing programs are really important to us, too, and we've worked with them a lot, you know, as commodity groups. That really has helped us open up markets.
Very good. Ray Gasser, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's use the 5 minutes we have remaining, Neil and Amy, to jump on that last point that Ray made, some agricultural conservation measures up for discussion in the 2018 Farm Bill, Neil.
Yeah, one of the major differences between the bills are that the House actually ends one of the most popular programs, the Conservation Stewardship Program, which has over 70 million acres of land in it. That's a working lands program, and the House is going to end that program and roll that money over into another program called EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, which is a cost-sharing program. The Senate doesn't make that change, and I think many folks that look at conservation think that the CSP, which in fact was originally proposed by Senator Harkin back in the 2002 bill, was one of the most important changes we were making in terms of having conservation on working land. So that's going to be an important one to keep your eye on.
Mm-hmm. Amy, you know, we just heard from a couple of farmers. Does that match your reactions you've heard from your talks with farmers around the state about the Farm Bill?
What's so interesting is that all of the farmers that I've heard speaking on the issue of tariffs in particular have talked about being willing to shoulder this now and anticipating that long-term things will be better. I haven't heard really from anybody what the impacts are today. And so the curious thing is I've heard some disagreement among grain farmers as to just how much soybean farmers were able to forward market, which is to say when they planted in the spring, making commitments for how much they'd get paid by whoever's going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of decision, if they could make it ahead, means they're not concerned right now. But I'm not really too sure how many farmers and how much of their grain they've marketed that way. So I think it'll be really interesting at harvest to see where we stand with these tariffs and what prices are like, and then what kind of pain some farmers are experiencing.
Hmm. Neil Hamilton, do you have any handle on that, past what Amy has said about what farmers, be it for pork or corn or beans, are experiencing now?
Well, I think as Amy touched on, it depends a lot on when they market it. And I think people believe that perhaps as much as 40% of Iowa soybean crop was already forward marketed, which means that people aren't necessarily experiencing these current downturns in prices. But that's what makes a longer-term price movement going forward so important. I think it's also going to raise a really interesting political issue when the USDA starts trying to make this bailout money available and how they deliver it to people. You may well have any number of farms that didn't necessarily experience a real loss related to the tariffs receiving assistance from the government, which is going to create a real potential nightmare. And that is also relates to one of the other important issues in the Farm Bill. You know, Senator Grassley for years has been a strong proponent of trying to tighten the payment limitations and to try to put some restraints on who actually is eligible to receive farm program benefits. And the Senate included his very kind of a tight payment limitation amendment. The House doesn't do that. In fact, the House actually basically takes off most of the restrictions on who can get farm program payments. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a really critical fight and probably one of the last issues that the conference will try to resolve because of the politics.
Answer this. We've got just a couple minutes, but when I've talked to other people on this program, non-farmers, they say, hey, regular folks don't get bailouts. Now the farmers get bailouts. What's the response to that, Neil?
Well, I think it's a difficult one, and particularly you have this paradox where conservatives in the House want to tighten up the SNAP program to, quote, save perhaps $17 billion, most of which would be funds that were otherwise going to be available to low-income families, while at the same time you see the federal government and the USDA being willing to make available billions of dollars to make up for these trade impacts. I think people would have trouble thinking that kind of poor children in Iowa should somehow pay for that type of assistance. That
right.
may be unfair to connect it that way, but it's going to be difficult for perhaps for members of the public. You know, part of the challenge, I think, the reality is that in many ways we kind of launder money through farmers out into the broader agricultural community. And, you know, that money doesn't necessarily stick in their pocket. It pays the rent, it pays the fuel, the seed, the fertilizer. You know, the checks may come from the USDA to producers, but that money is really, in many ways, helping support the whole rural economy and the agricultural economy.
Okay. Interesting you use the word launder there, Neil. But, Amy, to close, you know, for those of us who are not farmers, why does this matter? Why does the Farm Bill matter? Why should we pay attention?
In a big, broad sense, I think there's a couple of key reasons that it matters to all of us. One that maybe people would overlook is that it has historically been this bipartisan piece of legislation that relies upon the combination of, primarily rural lawmakers who see the nutrition programs as more important in their districts than some others might, and the rural lawmakers who see literally the farming happening in their districts. And that coalition has all kinds of broader implications for how members of Congress interact with each other on policy. At a more nitty-gritty level for individual consumers, I think there are very direct things. We see more farmers markets because of the Farm Bill. We see organic standards enforced because of the Farm Bill. There are lots of aspects of how we eat that in one way or another can be tied back to the Farm Bill. And then, of course, just the health of our rural communities that is impacted by how well farmers are doing also has a trickle-down impact on the price of food, for example.
Neil Hamilton, to end, what is your outlook for this 2018 Farm Bill? Are we going to have it in the door by the end of this September when the current one expires?
I predict that they'll have to go with some type of an extension because the politics will make it almost impossible for the House to have a vote on whatever comes out of the conference.
Okay, Neil Hamilton, director of the Drake Agricultural Law Center, Drake University, Des Moines. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Amy Mayer, thank you. Reporter for Iowa Public Radio and Harvest Public Media. We appreciate you stepping into the AIM studio.
You're welcome.
Coming up in just a moment, fascinating conversation with Navy SEAL Brandon Webb. His lessons from the book he's just written, Mastering Fear. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.